We'll now commit our meeting to the Lord in prayer, so we'll all bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll come before the Lord and ask him for his blessing on our meeting tonight. Gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence this evening, we do come to thee in prayer in and through the name of our blessed Redeemer and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for the words of our opening praise, and how we truly can say, those of us that know thee as Saviour, that we have found a friend in Jesus, and he is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We do thank you that we are here in God's house to sing about the Lord Jesus and to hear about him preached. And Lord, we do thank you for the one that we do sing about, and the one that we read about in God's word, and the one that will be preached to us tonight. We think, Lord, of your hand upon us today, Lord. And Lord, we've all heard news today. Some has been good news, some maybe not so good news. But we thank you for the greatest news of all, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus saves. And Lord, what you have done for us that are believers, we do pray tonight for any who may be with us who are not yet saved from sin. And Lord, tonight it is our prayer that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We thank you that Jesus came all the way from heaven as the second person in the Trinity, that he came in flesh as the Son of God to this earth, to go all the way to Calvary, and there he died and shed his precious blood that we might be cleansed from all our sins. Lord, we confess that we are all sinners, every one of us. There's nothing good or righteous in any of us. But we thank you, Lord, that those of us who have put our trust in thee, Lord, that our sins tonight are washed and cleansed beneath the precious blood. We do thank you tonight that we are saved, that we are born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Christ. And Lord, it is our prayer tonight that you would bless this gathering as we fellowship one with another, but most of all as we fellowship with thee. It is our prayer that you would bless us, Lord, as we worship thee in spirit and in truth, as we praise thy name, as we sing the praises of the Lord, as we pray, as we read the word of God. We pray you would bless the one who will minister to us in song, Lord, that you will help him. Lord, take all nervousness away from him. Bless him as he sings of his Saviour. And we do pray, Lord, that we would all listen even to the words in the ministry of song. We just pray, Lord, for the Reverend Ormerod as he brings the word of God. And we just pray especially for him that he would know the help of God tonight in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. We do thank you for the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we can truly say tonight that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We think, Lord, of the many invitations that have went out for this mission in this community, in this area, and it is our prayer that many will come in, that they will accept the invitation, and that they will come into the meetings under the sound of thy word. But it is our prayer most of all that they will accept the Lord's invitation, and that they will come to him for salvation and put their faith and trust in him tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would bless us now as we continue in our worship, as we fellowship with thee. Bless this meeting tonight, and we pray that precious souls will be saved. We pray you would bless thy word. We thank you, Lord, that thy word is truth, and Lord, that it is that lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And even as the words in the windows behind us say it, thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we do pray that the word of God will find a resting place in the heart of some precious unsaved soul tonight. We pray these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. We'll continue our worship with hymn 322, I keep looking at the board to make sure I say the right hymn. 322, and I hear the Saviour say, "Thy strength indeed is small," and we'll stand again to sing this hymn after the introduction. Very glad tonight to welcome our brother, Mr. James Gailey from Resharkin Free Presbyterian Church to sing to us tonight. And we do welcome him in the Lord's name. And I'm now going to ask him to come and sing a couple of pieces to us. Thank you.
Hello. It's good to be with you. I think this is the first time I've been to Ballygown, so it's an honour to be with you. Just give me a wee second till I get the song. Just want to start with a familiar song, and it's a song about wandering hearts and the God that calls them back home. Those hearts that are prone to wander.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious measure, sung by flaming tongues above. Oh, the vast the boundless treasure of my Lord's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when, free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, full arrayed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Make thy promises pass. For I know that thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last. For I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with the at last.
Amen. Just give me a wee second to put my other song on, but and I'll find it. But I want to sing about heaven, and I wanted to, for any that is struggling tonight and suffering under the weight of affliction, that they. They come and find the weight of glory. They look to the weight of glory that is ahead of them. And for those that are buying into the promises of the world, that the hope of heaven will strike their heart, and that they might come to know the Lord Jesus.
There is a higher throne than all this world has known. There are faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the sun will stand, made faultless through the Lamb, believing hearts find promise grace, salvation comes. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor are to God, our King, who reigns on high forevermore. And there we'll find our home, our life before the throne. We'll honor him in perfect song, where we belong. He'll wipe each tear-stained eye as thirst and hunger die. The Lamb becomes our Shepherd King. We'll reign with Him. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praises rise, all glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks, and honor are to God, our King, who reigns on high forevermore.
I do thank our brother James for coming along. He's came a long distance tonight, and we do appreciate that very much, coming and singing to us in the gospel. Thank you. Just a few announcements, not really many. We just want to give everyone a very warm welcome to our gospel mission meeting this evening. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we do give you that special welcome in the Lord's name, and we trust that you will come back again. The meetings continue Monday to Friday at 8 p.m. with a prayer meeting at 7:30 beforehand. And the meetings on Sundays are at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And we do welcome you one and all to come back again and join with us. The meetings will continue tomorrow night. And our own minister, Reverend Armorod, will be preaching once again. And our singer tomorrow evening is one of our own members, Mr. Stephen Anderson. So he will be ministering in song tomorrow evening. There's no offering taken up at the meetings during the week, but if you wish to give anything, there will be a basket in the hallway as you leave, and you can give there if you wish to contribute towards the expenses towards the mission. We'll sing one more hymn before the Reverend Ormerod comes to bring God's word to us. So we'll sing hymn 221 on page 265. Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And we'll sing all of the hymn. We'll stand to sing.
what a joy to see each and every one here this evening. As our brother said, we do welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that Lord will bless each and every one that is here. If you're here for the first time, we do give you that special welcome. And you're visiting with us, we encourage you if you're able to come back again. But may the Lord bless you and even speak to your heart as you're with us here this evening. Do want to thank Mervyn for leading and also our brother James for coming and singing. I was thinking whenever he said it's the first time that he's here. The first time I had him 6 miles across, not only did I get him to sing, but I got him to testify at the mission as well. And so I thought to myself, I'm getting soft in my old age. Only asked him to come and sing two pieces. He should have been given a word of testimony as well to get his money's worth out of him this evening. But it is a joy to have him again. And we do pray that the Lord will bless him and encourage him as he continues to serve the Lord. Can we say to our own people as well that we mentioned on Sunday we'd ordered more of the little invite cards. They arrived this afternoon. And so there's good bundles of them out there in the front porch now on the table just outside the kitchen. And if you're looking any more to hand out, take handfuls with you and even leave them wherever you go. I heard of one man, he went to the doctors and they're now hanging up in his doctor's surgery, up in the notice board and on the tables there in the waiting room. And the longer you wait in the doctor's surgery, well, the more you can put out. So it is. So do make use of the cards. And as you have been, continue to pray and continue to use them for the Lord's blessing and his pleasure, even in these days, to reach the lost of this area. We're turning tonight Mark's Gospel in the chapter 8. Mark's Gospel and the chapter number 8. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 34 and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 8. In the verse 34, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It is those verses 36 and 37 that we leave before you this evening. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? Let's ask the Lord to come and to speak to us and to minister even to our hearts tonight. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, we are so thankful that thou hast been with us already in this meeting. We're so thankful for the help of God and the leading and the singing together. So thankful for the help given to your brother as he's ministered in song. But O Father, now as we come with the book open before us, believing that this is the word of God, we ask thee that thou will come and speak to each and to every heart. We pray for that settling of the mind, Lord, to take away every distraction, every thought of today, every thought of tomorrow. O Father, set them aside, we pray thee. And may we center our minds and indeed our hearts upon the things of God. And as we hear thy word being preached, we pray for the stirring of the Holy Spirit within the hearts of men and of women. That thou wilt take that dealing with those that are still outside of Christ. That thou wilt draw them unto thyself. O God, glorify thy Son in our midst, we pray thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is remarkable to think that the greatest questions that have ever been asked were asked by the one who knows all things. Asked by the one who sees all things. Asked by the one who is infinite in knowledge. And yet God himself has asked the greatest questions that have ever been asked in all of the history of mankind. The very first question that God ever asked was in the Garden of Eden to the man by the name of Adam. Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had just ate the forbidden fruit. They had disobeyed God. And in the cool of the day, as God came to walk and to talk with them, he called out and he says, "Where art thou, Adam?" Whenever the first murder was committed by Cain upon his brother Abel, he asked the question of Cain, "What hast thou done?" Because Abel's blood cried out from the ground. Whenever Elijah ran from Ahab and from Jezebel, he ran over 20 miles away in fear. And whenever he was there in that cave place, God came to him and said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Whenever Jonah went to the city of Nineveh and preached to that city, after the time of the preaching was at an end, he went and he sat outside of the city, still waiting for the destruction and the judgment of God to fall upon it. And he was angry because God showed grace and showed mercy. And God asked the question of Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" You see, every question that God asks is not for his own benefit. It is not that he might understand more, it's not that he might learn, but rather the questions of God are asked that we might stop, that we might think, that we might take heed, that we might come to a realization of a great and important fact that we must understand. You know, we come to the New Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus during his ministry asked questions. If you just go back a number of verses, Mark 8 and the verse 29, he said unto them, "Whom say ye that I am?" Because he had asked it 2 verses previous, verse 27 as well. "Whom do men say that I am?" And so he brings the disciples around him and he asks that question to them. Who are all of the men and the women? Who are all of the people of Israel saying that I am as I move amongst them? As I have my gospel ministry, as I have my earthly ministry, and I'm doing these miracles and I'm preaching to them and souls are being saved, the lepers are being healed, who are people saying that I am? And the various answers are given. Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're just simply one of the prophets, you're just another preacher. But then the question, Christ brings it even closer to home, but whom do you say that I am? In other words, what does Christ mean to you? And I wonder this evening, what does Christ mean to you? Is Christ simply a Bible character? Is Christ simply someone that you identify with in relation to Christmas and in relation to Easter? Is Christ simply someone that you've heard about in relation to the gospel over many years, maybe from childhood upwards, and you've heard about Jesus Christ, you've heard about this individual, but in reality he means nothing to you? And in reality, if you're honest before God, you know very little about. This evening we come to the question that he asks at the end of this chapter. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? You know, let me just pause and highlight to you what a soul actually is. Because in Scripture it speaks quite often about the soul. And yet I dare say if I was to go round and ask every single individual, what do you think the soul actually is? I would imagine I'd get many different answers. Within the Bible, the soul is mentioned 459 times. And it speaks of all different parts. It's described in all different ways. If you go to Matthew, it speaks of the soul being the natural life of the body. In Acts, it's the invisible part of man. In Luke, it's the seat of your personality. In Ephesians, it's the seat of your will and purpose. In other words, your soul is you. You. You see, all of you consists of being your soul. That's how it's described by one of the commentators, James Barr. He says, "Man does not simply have a soul, he is a soul." And you think of the book of Genesis, the first mention of the soul in scriptures, Genesis 2, and the verse 7, where it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so it's right and proper tonight to say that each and every one of us has a soul, but each and every one of us is a soul. And there is no more important part of you than your soul. It's not your brain. It's not your heart. It's not your organs. It's not your lungs. The most important part of you is your soul. You know, so much today is put into the care of your body. Right from an early age, we're encouraging children. I laugh now at times because whenever I go into schools to do assemblies, especially down, I remember in Six Mile Cross, the kids come in for the assembly and then they were out for their daily mile, where they just walked round and round the playground outside, getting their exercise in for the day. Even within the school place now, there is a great desire to have children being more fit, being more active. They're out walking around the playgrounds. It was great even to see in the rainy days. They were told, put your coats on, you're going out. And there's so much drive now, eating healthy foods. They're no longer allowed on healthy snacks in school. I'm glad I'm not there. Because if we don't send children with fruit and vegetables and little carrot sticks or apples and bananas for their break, they can get negative points against them. I'd have so many negative points against me, I'd never find a positive. But there's all of the desires, and it's taught to the children from an early age. And you're coming up through, and your doctor, even if you go and see him, he'll be desiring you to have a healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet, to have that exercise each and every week or whatever you can do. They'll talk about doing your 10,000 steps a day and all of the rest of it. If you get your little Fitbit in your arm, whenever you hit the 10,000, you'll get a little beep, and it'll be all celebration in your arm because you've managed 10,000. All of these desires, all of these activities to care for a body. How many desires and activities are caring for your soul? Yes, your body's important, your brain's important, your heart's important, your lungs are important, all of the organs are important. They all have that function, they all have that need within you, but there is coming a day every single one of them will die. All of your muscles will waste away. Your brain will immediately, at the point of death, it will stop working. No longer will it command. No longer will it send the signals around the body. There is coming a day when your heart will stop beating. All of these parts of the body will shut down. All of these parts of the body will cease to work and cease to exist. And yet your soul is immortal. It lives on forever. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasizes it in these questions to us, that there is nothing of greater value in you than your soul. There are two things I want to leave with you this evening in relation to it. Firstly, I want you to see the priority of your soul. The priority of your soul, because it says here in this question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? Did you notice there at the end of the question, the wording says his own soul? You see, in reality, the soul is the only thing that you own. Or you might say, but I own my house, I've cleared my mortgage, I now own it. My names are on the deeds of that, I am the sole owner of my house. And maybe you're saying the same of your car, and you're saying, no, my car is my own. The tax comes in and it's in my name. All of these things, the insurance, it's all in my name. My friend, the minute you die and the minute you're laid in a grave, that house is someone else's. That car is someone else's. Your soul is the only thing that you're born with. It's the only thing that you'll leave with. You see, the moment that you're coming into existence, the moment that you're conceived in your mother's womb, you have a soul. And the moment you breathe your last breath, it's the only part of you that's still there. And yet, is it your priority? Or how much of your life, how much of your daily activity is taken up with all of the other things of this world, all of the other things of life, all of the other things of work? Tell me, how far down the list would you ever put your soul? Maybe you don't even put it on your to-do list. Maybe you go through your entire day, you're going through your entire week, your entire month, and you've all of the daily checklist, the weekly checklist, you've all of those things, the desires, the efforts, all of the energy that you put into the different works, the different aspects of life, and yet never one, not one moment, not one second, not one thought. Do you ever give to the most valuable part of you? What's your priority in life? What's your goal? You know, if you look at society today, the goals of society, the goals of individuals have greatly changed over the years. For some nowadays, it's all about popularity. You go onto social media, you go onto the internet, you'll find individuals that are making much money out of being influencers. And they're gathering together as much fame, as much popularity, as much followers as they possibly can. And so it's all about the popularity. It's about having your name up. It's about having the mentions, having the concerns, having the followers, that individuals are taking their time to watch you, to follow you, to listen to you, and even to obey whatever you're promoting. You know, I think of two of the most famous people in Northern Ireland over the years. And I think, well, what did the fame do for them? You know, when George Best died, George Best, if you're from Northern Ireland, you're probably going to say he's the greatest footballer who's ever been in the world. I'd definitely put him up in the top five anyway, if not the top three. A man who had the world at his feet. A man who had everything. He had all of the money, he had all of the friends, he had the followers, he had the fans all over the world. You know, when he died, 35,000 people lined the streets, lined the route from the Craigie Road to Stormont. 35,000 people. And yet, what good was that to his soul? Oh, yes, it paid their respects. Yes, they came out to show their admiration for the great footballer. But what good did that do his soul? Thank God, before he died, just a number of weeks before, in the hospital room that he died in, he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And every morning, the little Filipino nurse who cared for him opened up the Bible and read him the scriptures. 35,000 people. I can take you back to March 1974. And there was another funeral in Northern Ireland. There was 1 mile of a cortege behind the coffin. In my opinion, the greatest boxer Ireland has ever seen. He was from the Shankill Road. He was followed by Protestant, Roman Catholic, Republican Loyalist. The greatest knights the Ulster Hall has ever seen was when Tommy Armour fought. He would have cracked America if Hitler hadn't invaded Poland. He had won every fight in Northern Ireland. He had beat the British. He had beat the British champions. He had beat the Irish champions. He was heading for America. Hitler invaded Poland and put an end to it all. And yet he could have pulled in, and he went into bars in the Falls Road, and he went into bars in the Shankill Road. And they pulled up the benches and they pulled up the bar stools for him. They filled the drinks for him. He was the most famous boxer in this land. And yet whenever he died, did all of those fans and those friends, did it do anything for his soul? No, but thank God, before he died, he had faith in Jesus Christ. Because he realized, what's the point in the money? What's the point in all of these things? It's done nothing for my soul. And upon his deathbed, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You see, fame and friends do nothing for your soul. Oh, they might make you feel good for a moment. They might make you feel good for an hour. Maybe it's the case and you're saying, well, I don't have the friends and I don't have the fame, but I'm working my way and I now have the money. And I'm giving of myself, and my desire is to make the fortunes, to make all that I can. Do you know Alexander the Great? He went from land to land. He had the greatest empire with all of the fortunes that he could ever muster, with every land, every kingdom that he took over. Do you know upon his deathbed he told the men as they were carrying him to his grave that his hands were to be outside of the coffin to show to all of the men that gathered around that he never took one of his riches with him, that whenever he died there was nothing. He had given all that he had to getting as much as he could. And yet when he died, he left it all behind. You see, Matthew 6:19 tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You see, my friend, the value and the priority must be given to your soul. Tells us, you know, when we all have it, there's car insurance, there's house insurance, there's holiday insurance, there's pet insurance, there's landlord insurance, there's tenants insurance, there's every insurance under the sun. And many tonight have insured their souls. In other words, how many tonight have given their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh yes, money's important, jobs are important, friends are important, but my friend, there's nothing more important to you than your soul. You can put the importance in whatever you like. The Lord Jesus Christ puts it upon your soul. Because he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is the greatest priority. But I want you to see, secondly and finally, the price of your soul. The price of your soul, because it says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, any man, any woman can lose their own soul, but only Christ can save it. There are many today that are doing their best to save their own souls. But my friend, the reality is this, there's no one that can save your soul apart from Jesus Christ. It was only through his death upon the cross that the payment could be made. We sang it earlier together. Jesus paid it all. The value that he put upon your soul meant that he had to go. The Son of God, the second of the Godhead, had to leave the splendors of glory. And he had to come down and he had to be clothed in our humanity. And he then had to live a life of perfection, that then he might go to a cross and he might hang upon that cross. And the blood had to flow from his body. And he had to take the wrath of his Father. And he had to come under the power of death for a time. And he had to be laid in a grave. But then he rose from that grave triumphant. That's the value of your soul. That the Son of God would do all of that to save you. You know, the price and the value of your soul is so high, it's only an infinite God could pay it. The story's told of the great preacher by the name of Roland Hill. Roland Hill was an outside preacher. He would go into the towns and the villages, the cities, and he would just stand in the open, the common area, and the crowds would gather around him and he would begin to preach. He was very famous right across the land, both with the rich and with the poor. One particular occasion, as he was preaching, he noticed a very fine carriage pulling up at the back of the crowd. He realized whose the carriage was. It was Lady Erskine's. Lady Erskine was a beautiful lady, but she was also a very rich lady. She was well known in that particular area. Everyone would always know that she was the finest of the fine. And she had all of the wealth. And as Roland Hill was preaching, he noticed a carriage pulling up, and he noticed a little window in the side of the carriage opening, and he knew that she was sitting within that carriage at that time. And he stopped preaching and he says, "Now we're going to have a bidding auction. And we're going to bid now for the soul of Lady Erskine." And the whole crowd went silent. And they looked round at the carriage. Lady Erskine didn't move. He says, "Who are the bidders for the soul of Lady Erskine?" He says, "The first bidder I see coming forth is the world." He says, "World, what will you offer Lady Erskine for her soul?" And the answer comes back, "I will give her pleasures. I will give her riches. I will give her all of the comforts that this world can give her. I'll give her happy life. I'll leave her that she'll never want for anything in this life." "No," said Hill, "for her soul is eternal. And you cannot provide one thing past her death. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul?" And then Hill says, "There comes another bidder. It is the devil." He says, "Devil, what will you give for the soul of Lady Erskine?" The devil says, "I will let her enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I will give her everything. Everything that is a delight to her eye, everything that is a delight to her ear. I'll give her it all." "No," said Hill, "you're a liar. We don't trust a word that comes out of the mouth of the devil, because he's the father of lies." And then Hill says, "There's one more bidder, and it's Jesus Christ." And he says, "Jesus Christ, what will you give for the soul of Lady Erskine?" And the answer comes back, "It's not what I will give, it's what I have given. For I have given my life, and I shed my blood, and I died upon a cross. That's the value that I put on her soul." And Roland Hill looks straight at the carriage and he says, "Lady Erskine, you have heard the bids. Which one do you accept?" And Lady Erskine got out of her carriage and she came through the crowd to where Roland Hill stood. And she says, "The bid that Jesus Christ has bid, that is a fair bid for my soul." No, my friend, I ask you the same question tonight. Your soul is an offer to be bid on. What bid will you accept? What value do you put on your own soul? You see, there are some that seek to place a bid and a value on their own soul. And some will argue, "Well, I pay into a church." Well, let's add that up. Imagine, hypothetically speaking, you give £10 every single week. That's £520 a year. And imagine, hypothetically, that you live for 100 years. That's £52,000. You saying your soul's only worth £52,000? Oh, you'll say, "But I give my attendance. I'm faithful in the place of worship. I'm there every single Sunday. Surely my attendance, along with my contribution, surely that's enough for my soul." Then you're saying that 52 hours in a year, 1 hour every Sunday, over a lifetime of 100 years, You're saying 52,000 years or hours of your life is enough for your soul. And yet Jesus Christ stands forward and he says, no, the value of your soul was my blood and my death and my sacrifice. You know, in closing tonight, I want to speak to you about your soul after death. You see, Scripture makes it very clear there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. There is coming a day when your family will call the undertakers. The undertaker will come, outfit will be picked out for your body. They'll have you looking nice in the coffin. Your body then will be taken to a graveyard, laid into the ground. But your soul will not be there. It will not be in limbo. It will not be in purgatory. There's no such thing as soul sleep. The moment that you die, your soul immediately leaves your body, and it's absent from the body, and if you're saved, it's present with the Lord. Or else if you're not saved and you die outside of Christ, it's absent from the body, and it's immediately in the torments of hell forever. In your death, where's your soul going? You see, it's not something you'll pass on to your family. You can write your will. You can carve your house and your belongings, your money, your possessions. You can split them between your children, grandchildren, whatever way you want to do it. But you can't pass your soul to anyone. Your soul is either immediately in the presence of God or immediately it's cast into hell. You know, there's a little chorus that I learned as a child. I have a soul to be saved. Let me apply it to you this evening as I close. You have a soul to be saved. Oh, that may this truth be engraved on your mind and on your heart while you're young. Because, oh, how awful the cost if your soul should be lost and in hell if you die as you are. Yes, die as you are. Die as you are, all hope gone forever, if you die as you are. What shall it profit a man if he can gain the whole world, but he loses his own soul? You know, I watched a video. You see these videos people do all around weird places. There's a man went into a shop in America and he asked every single person as he went around that shop, what would you choose, £1 billion or eternity with Christ? Do you know over 50% that answered it said, give me the money. Would rather have money on earth and be with Jesus. My friend, they can have all the money, they can gather all the riches in this life. The moment they die, they're lost. But what about you? The most precious thing you have is your soul. what are you going to do with it? Jesus stands ready, willing and able to save your soul and to keep your soul. He's the only one that can. But you must come to him. You go your own way. You do your own thing. Your soul will be lost. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder? Oh, my friend, come to him tonight. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Can I say to you, if I can be of any help, if you've any concerns at all about your soul, my friend, don't put it off. Don't leave it for another night. Your priority right now, tonight, is your soul. Be sure it's saved. Father, we pray that I will continue to speak by thy Spirit. Continue to strive with men, with women. O Father, have mercy upon them and save their precious, never dying souls. Father, we thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank thee for the life of Christ, the ministry, the questions. And O Father, even as we've considered tonight the soul, Lord, may every soul in this gathering be saved. Saved not just for now, but for all eternity. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name.